I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Welcome to Radio Times. The Philadelphia School District faces a $300 million shortfall. Our guest, Councilwoman Blondell Reynolds-Brown, has co-authored a bill to help defray some of that deficit. She and Council President Darrell Clark have introduced legislation that would permit billboard advertising on school district property with the money going to the district. Councilwoman Blondell Reynolds-Brown was elected in 1999 and joins us on Radio Times by phone. And nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning, Radio Times, and thanks for this unique opportunity to talk about an important budget issue that continues to face Philadelphia public schools.
Indeed, and we will talk about all of that. Let me just give out that phone number to our listeners, and it's 1-888-477-9499. She is the first of three guests in this hour of Radio Times. Councilwoman, how much money do you think the district can make by permitting billboards on public schools?
The answer to that question, we simply do not know yet. Right now, in America, Los Angeles is the largest school district that has entered into this new unprecedented method of raising money. And last year, they generated as much as $18 million for their schools. The city closest to us that has done, I would argue, well already, is New York City, where they raised $5.9 million, close to $6 million on their transportation fleet alone. So we have no way yet of telling or arriving at the answer to that question yet. Right now, all we can look to what other municipalities have done around the country.
How do you answer the argument that schools should be a place where children are protected from advertising?
Absolutely. Agreed. We should protect young people from advertising. More importantly, we should protect young people from irresponsible advertising. We're looking for responsible advertising that will hopefully in some ways augment or enhance messages that we're already trying to send. For example, off limits will be alcohol and tobacco related advertising. We hope to also not promote companies that offer advertising that deal with high-calorie or high-fat foods. And for us, the broader question is this. You opened up with the premise on why we're even thinking about going to these new unprecedented opportunities for recurring revenue dollars. With our city residents have faced multiple taxes over the last 3 years. Sales tax was passed. A property tax has been passed for three consecutive years. There's been the ongoing debate around soda tax. We have the liquor by the drink tax. There's a cigarette tax. And I would argue that taxpayers we go to them asking for more. And I would argue that Philadelphians are saying there's no more left. Look to new, unprecedented, non-traditional, some might argue innovative ways of raising new revenue dollars. And so that's my impetus for even thinking about this. And, of course, always when you see other municipalities faced with the exact same issue, funding public schools, what are we going to do differently? Because here's what we know. Mm-hmm. Public funding is no longer adequately funding public education.
When you talk about responsible advertising, you said no alcohol, no tobacco, no high-fat foods. What would be a good example of what you think is a responsible billboard on a school that underscores the value, the need for a good quality education in Philadelphia?
Okay, great question. Well, again, I will look to what other cities are doing. And L.A., again, to use that as an example, a Nike put up advertising to cover the funding for a new football field. Locally, the Bucks County School District is now engaged in advertising, and they are looking at companies that want to promote athletic wear. So advertising messages that deal with being physically fit, advertising messages that deal with reading to our kids, advertising messages that say, let's support our libraries, advertising messages that say, let's support our arts and culture. Those are a few examples that come to mind immediately, which send a message to children and young people that these are good ways to use your time.
And is this the beginning, assuming this passes and the School Reform Commission takes it up, is this the beginning of then advertising on buses? I know something that you have introduced or certainly talked about earlier, sporting events, books. I'm thinking of all the various places that a company could advertise in a school. Mm-hmm.
It is at the very, very beginning. In fact, we're not even at first base yet because, as you aptly stated, we have to first get it passed in the Philadelphia City Council. We're still working carefully to amend the bill because there's a few tweaks we have to make in the bill to gain 9 votes. And then, of course, it goes to the mayor's desk. And the hope and expectations that the mayor would support it because we all know, again, that we're looking for recurring revenue for the Philadelphia school system. And then I expect to babysit this process along the way. I mean, truly, my duty is simply only to advocate and recommend to the School Reform Commission, who will have the ultimate veto power. But I plan to voluntarily be involved every single step of the way because I am concerned that we honor this notion of making sure that the ads are responsible or responsible messages, if you will. And so the school district has informed us also that they have their own internal homework that they have to do. For example, we learned that 75% of the Philadelphia School District bus fleet is subcontracted out. So those buses will not be subject to this new measure if it is passed. And then there are other administrative matters that the school district must do first before they put this particular issue on the SRC agenda. So this is a long walk we have to take before we ultimately see this come to pass.
Well, as we know, many of the schools in Philadelphia are in residential neighborhoods. Are you talking then about essentially reducing the or bringing billboards into neighborhoods that have been kept out because of regulation?
And a good point. I'm hoping when I say babysit, one of my recommendations will be that neighbors, parent advisory councils, have a say and what type of advertising they want to go in and or around their schools. There should be involvement from the ground up, always understanding that the SRC has veto power. And my experience tells me that when you have interest, support, activity, engagement at the grassroots community level, you typically end up with a better outcome as it works its way up the system to the SRC agenda. So, yes, absolutely, yes. Neighbors, parent advisory council should be a part of this process.
And that's Philadelphia Councilwoman Blondell Reynolds-Brown. We are talking about a bill that she has co-authored that would allow billboard advertising on school district property with the money going to the school district, which frankly needs a lot of money. It's proposal that has raised a whole host of questions. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Let me see what Bill from Belmont Hills has to say. And Bill, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. I wanted to say that this is a very short-sighted and ineffective approach. Los Angeles was mentioned as having $18 million in revenues from billboards, but that's against a $6.7 billion budget for schools. Mm-hmm. In Philadelphia, we currently have a budget deficit of schools of $300 million, so that $18 million, even if we got that a year, would be only 6% of the deficit. And moreover, the cost of this, of having schools further commercialized, is terrible. I mean, it's bad enough that a lot of schools have Coke machines. I think what's a much better approach is people in Lower Merion, like me, paying more by having improved state funding formulas to help Philadelphia. I would be happy to pay less for my excellent Lower Merion schools, where my three kids have gone, in order to help the schools in West Philly, where I volunteer with homework help for homeless children. Mm-hmm. I think that's a much more bold, important, and sustaining approach to help the schools.
Well, Bill, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. And Councilwoman Brown, if you had your way, would that be a better way of funding the district here in Philadelphia?
One reason why we're at this crossroads is because the state has not honored its constitutional duty to fund schools, not just in Philadelphia, but across the Commonwealth. The caller's points are very, very well taken, but our unfortunate reality is that we have leadership at the Harrisburg level that has made decisions where our schools for the last 3 years have lost nearly $300 million. With cuts to basic education subsidy, state grant reductions, and cuts to charter reimbursement. So we're only at this awkward place because of the inaction or non-action from Harrisburg. And the option for us would be to go back again to city's taxpayers and raise their real estate taxes again. And there are a number of us in city council who are just reluctant to do that. I might also agree that it is short-sighted, but given our options, what better alternatives do we have? And I would argue that 6% of if 6 million is just 6% of our budget, that for sure might buy some art and culture, some art teachers back. It might indeed allow us to open up more libraries in the schools. Every single penny matters.
What about the idea of collecting on billboard violators? We're going to be talking about this more as the hour goes on, but some of my reading is that there are a number of illegal billboards in the city, and if they were in a sense had to pay fines, there could be millions of dollars of there potentially for the school district. What do you think of that?
I love the idea, actually, and that's what I had not explored. I should mention that my colleague, Councilman Bobby Heenan, has devoted an enormous amount of time on a new billboard bill. And so I will certainly explore with him, or at least have the conversation about, is there provision in his current legislation that speaks to billboard violators? Because, again, that is potentially new revenue dollars. So that point is very, very, very well taken. One of the tweaks we have to make in our current bill is that it is too broad and that we want the authority to be purely the SRC. Right now, its language is broad where it's not narrow enough to say that the SRC will have the strict authority. So I share that because as a bill moves its way through the legislative process, you hear perspectives like those just offered by your caller and yourself, which help us in looking at it and looking to see where we need to amend so that we come up with a better bill.
And we have about a minute.
So I'll follow up on that.
I hear you. About a minute before we have to say goodbye. So what is the timetable on your bill?
Thank you very much. We will amend the bill this Thursday with two technical amendments, if you will, and then we will look to pass the bill in the new year. Thursday is our last official session of council. Next week we're full of meetings getting ready for the budget, but this Thursday is our last official session, therefore the only other time we have to work on the bill. So we will amend it Thursday and then look to seek second reading and final passage in January.
And do you think it will pass?
I'm confident that it will. We're talking with colleagues all the time because nothing is nothing until the vote is called. But it appears right now that we have 9 votes to support this measure.
Well, Philadelphia City Councilwoman Blondell Reynolds-Brown, thank you for joining us today in Radio Times, getting our conversation started.
Thank you for the healthy debate. Thank you.
You're welcome. And she and Council President Daryl Clark have introduced legislation that would allow billboard advertising on school district property with that money going to the district. She mentioned Councilman Heenan will be talking about billboards with a local journalist here waiting in the wings and taking more calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Independence Blue Cross is proud to support WHYY. The new healthcare law is here, and Independence Blue Cross can help consumers understand how the new law affects individuals and families. Independence Blue Cross has been here for 75 years, and they're committed to being here for whatever lies ahead. Independence Blue Cross. Live fearless. To find out more about how the healthcare law could affect you, details at ibx.com.
You told the sheriff that you were walking to Nebraska.
Next time in Studio 360.
That's right, to get my $1 million.
I'll talk with the director, Alexander Payne, and the 3 stars of his new film, Nebraska, including Bruce Dern.
You got to get up pretty early in the morning to steal a scene from me.
That's next time in Studio 360 from PRI and WNYC.
Tonight at 10 on WHYY.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, world leaders honor the late Nelson Mandela, but long before politicians got on his bandwagon, musicians were there. Next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. There are approximately 2,000 billboards in Philadelphia, and if you drive on I-95 or 676, you see exactly what I'm talking about. City Councilman Bob Heenan has introduced legislation that would regulate the city's outdoor advertising, including freezing the number of billboards at the current level. We asked Jared Bray to walk us through that proposal and to talk a bit about what Blondell Reynolds Brown was just talking about. He writes about development, zoning, and city government for PlanPhilly.com. He trudged through the snow to be with us today on Radio Times. And Jared, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks very much for having me.
You're very welcome. And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. I saw you taking notes as I was talking to Councilwoman Brown. Mm-hmm. What's your response to what she was proposing, what she is proposing?
Well, she mentioned that LA has $18 million potentially through revenue and that New York has $5.9 million. Obviously, those are two much bigger cities than Philadelphia, and I believe those are the projections for revenue for the advertising. And in New York, even if Philadelphia could bring in $6 million, which she pointed out, our school bus fleet is 75% contracted out, so we would only be able to use a quarter of it. Even if we could somehow bring in the $6 million, that is less than 2% of the budget shortfall of $300 million that you mentioned, and you know, a quarter of a percent of the total budget of $2.4 billion.
But what we heard from her, and I think no surprises here, is just how desperate this city is to find money. You know, pocket change, change in the cushion covers.
And this is, this is a trend, especially in Philadelphia. You know, Council President Clark has also passed a bill that would allow advertising on municipal property, and he has another one pending that would create a billboard district on North Broad Street. All as ways to bring in additional revenue, you know, a dollar at a time for basic city services.
I mean, it's interesting that it seems as if the city or the city government is discovering billboards as a way to raise revenue.
And it's interesting because the current, there's about 2,000 billboards in the city, and they generate less than $3 million in tax revenue. And as a total, you know, that represents, I think, about $35 million that they've brought in. So with 2,000 billboards, if they brought in $35 million, you know, we're going to have far fewer than that on city buildings, presumably, and city schools. So the number gets lower and lower.
Help us understand the Heenan bill. And
sure.
It's sort of under construction,
But
where does it stand today?
And I should mention, it's been under construction for more than 20 years. I mean, there is a billboard bill passed in 1991 that was never enforced. Some of it was enforced, but a lot of it was not enforced. And then again in 2005, the city council passed another billboard bill, which the industry sort of got together and sued over the excise tax and the raised fees that the bill would have imposed. And that sort of led to the settlement agreement whereby all these billboards are treated as legal, but the code itself doesn't govern. So they're sort of governed under this quasi-legislative, other contract.
And just picking up on what you just said there. So we're talking about 2,000 billboards, some of which are illegal. Do we know how many are illegal?
I do not know exactly how many are illegal. I mean, there are very many that are non-conforming.
Does that make them illegal?
That does not make them illegal. I mean, there's the grandfather clause. So it was legal when the time it was built means it's still legal now. It can't get bigger. It can't be replaced. But it's there legally.
Right.
The number of illegal billboards, I just don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're talking about, I guess, part of the Heenan bill is to freeze the number as it stands today at about 2,000.
Right. There is a provision in his bill that is an outright ban on new billboards anywhere in the city. And members of the industry have said before that even under current regulations, there's nowhere you can really put a billboard anyway because we're pretty much saturated. At the same time, the industry does not like that provision at all. And just because of the sort of litigious history of this issue, there is another provision in the bill I noticed last night that says if this particular provision should be seen as illegal by a court, that you can't ban billboards outright, then we go back to these current regulations. So So written into the bill, there's like a, in case this doesn't work, we're going to go back to the regulations we have now.
But we're talking about, I mean, there are many stakeholders, it seems to me,
right,
in this sort of very, very down-to-earth idea of billboards.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about the billboard companies,
mm-hmm,
community groups, I guess, as
right,
well.
Yeah.
Who have been some of the...
So the billboard companies, certainly, there's four major ones. And then, you know, community groups obviously get involved with these to varying degrees, depending on, you know, it's all sort of personal and sometimes very visceral how you feel about billboards or don't, you know. But then there's this group, Scenic Philadelphia, which has been here for 20, I think, right, since the first billboard bill, 91. It used to be Scrub.
Yes.
That's been fighting tooth and nail to get stricter billboard regulations and to get the existing regulations enforced.
In fact, we'll be talking with Mary Tracy, the executive director of Scenic Philadelphia, mm-hmm, in about 10 minutes or so. Let me give out that phone number again. And yes, it is snowing, but we are not talking about the weather in this hour of Radio Times. We're talking about billboards here in Philadelphia, the regulation of billboards. There are a number of bills in the Philadelphia City Council related to billboards. And lines open at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, or you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. When I was talking with Councilwoman Blondell Reynolds Brown, the idea of putting billboards on school buildings, that mm-hmm, does bring them into residential neighborhoods.
It absolutely does.
So
right,
that would require pretty dramatic changes in the zoning.
Basically, the bill would supersede the zoning. So it is interesting timing because, you know, we're at the end of this push to try and get a new set of zoning regulations citywide for billboards that keep billboards out of neighborhoods, keep them away from schools. And now we're saying, on the other hand, let's bring them into schools, mm-hmm, and into neighborhoods. But yeah, the existing regulations do ban billboards, I think, within 300 feet of a residential area.
So that would potentially be undone by if
right,
this legislation.
Right, absolutely.
And is there, if not unanimity, support for this in City Council, the idea of using billboards as a way of getting revenue?
I think that some people are in favor of it, just on the sense of bringing new revenue in from non-tax sources, and some people are ambivalent about it. I don't know that there's any serious opposition from any of the council members that I've talked to about it.
You mentioned Council President Daryl Clark. Mm-hmm. What does he want to do in North Broad?
There's this bill now that's pending, and it hasn't had a committee hearing yet, but that would basically allow billboards to be put on any building on North Broad Street between JFK and Lehigh Avenue that has more than 50 feet of frontage on North Broad Street. And I haven't been able to...
Yeah, what does that mean? Do you know?
I mean, it's buildings that are wide enough, or 50 feet wide or wider, or that are owned by the same owner and that have 50 feet of frontage. And I don't know exactly how many buildings that would affect. But it's, again, I think it's another way for him to try to get in increased revenue without raising mm-hmm. taxes. And it would obviously have a pretty big impact on North Broad Street.
I do want to get to our callers, but mm-hmm. you mentioned the billboard license fee.
Mm-hmm.
Seems really low.
Well, it was set at $650 annually per billboard under the 2005 law. And then there was that lawsuit. Two lawsuits, actually. And then under the settlement agreement, it's at $50 a year. So it was reduced. I don't know how many percent that is, but by quite
lot.
A bit. Yeah, a lot. And under Heenan's proposed bill, it's floating somewhere around $315, so right in the middle of there. And it hasn't been settled yet exactly what the fee will be, but it's going to presumably raise.
But it's, I don't know if you've looked at fees in other cities, but as I said, we're talking about very successful companies that mm-hmm. have billboard companies, mm-hmm. $650, even at its height, that doesn't seem like a lot of money to me.
Yeah, I mean, from your lips to God's ears, I'm not sure exactly how much other cities charge for the license fees, but you know, again, the total revenue that these things bring into the city is less than $3 million.
Mm. Let me get to our callers. We have, it looks like Adam from Doylestown joining us on Radio Times. Hi, Adam. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Just following up on that last point where he said how small the actual revenue is that these projects would bring in. I just wondered if your guest there knows anything or can speak to any municipalities or areas that have gone the other way and actually tried to eliminate billboards and their you know potential clutter of the landscape. I believe, if memory serves me right, driving through I-95 in Maine, it's billboard free. And I wondered if he knew anything about that. And again, any municipalities sure. that might have been going the other way.
And Adam, that's something I'm going to put to Mary Tracy when she joins us as well. But have you looked at that?
And she'll know a little bit better than I will. But I know that there are some counties, I think, even in Pennsylvania, that have decided that they, you know, through zoning, they don't want to have any billboards along the highways or wherever it may be. And as far as I know, the Supreme Court hasn't ruled that that's unconstitutional or that you can't do that. So I do believe that the basic right to zone and to zone out billboards, if you choose, has been upheld.
Adam, thanks for the call to Radio Times. What about the idea of billboards going from static to digital?
Right.
How does that fit into this proposal?
This has sort of been the biggest issue over the past several years, because as this new technology has come in, these digital billboards can be very bright. They're LNI, which enforces the zoning code, has been treating the switch from traditional sign to digital billboard as a matter of right, meaning that the billboard owner can go to LNI and just get a permit over the counter and say, I'm going to make this billboard digital. And that's been changing. There's been a couple memos about how the department shouldn't do that anymore and that it should be treated as a whole new sign, basically to prevent non-conforming signs from turning into these bright digital signs that are very impactful on the landscape. Councilman Heenan's bill would basically allow district council members to decide where in their districts they want static billboards to be allowed to transition to digital. So that will all be worked out after this bill passes, if it does pass.
So that's that councilmanic prerogative?
That's right, yes. That's what that is.
But I would assume if we're talking about billboards in communities, that there would be some community pushback to the idea of very bright digital billboards.
Right, and I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, especially if you take out the citywide policy and don't say, well, all right, you know, citywide we're going to treat transitions from static to digital as, you know, as this or that. If you do it neighborhood by neighborhood, I don't know what kind of opposition you're going to get, but I imagine it would be, the community's going to want to get involved in that issue some way or another.
Let me get some more callers in on the conversation at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. We're talking specifically about billboards here in Philadelphia, a number of bills in city council dealing with billboards potentially on school property. Some of the money or the money going to the Philadelphia School District, which is about $300 million in the hole. And Councilman Bobby Heenan has introduced some legislation that would regulate the city's outboard advertising, freezing the number of billboards at the current level, but as we have been talking about, that could include or non-conforming or even illegal billboards. 1-888-477-9499. We've got, looks like Anne Marie from New Hope joining us on Radio Times. We need someone to call from the city. Anne Marie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, the reason I'm calling from New Hope,
yes.
I make a trip usually from Richmond up here on a pretty regular basis. And it seems that when I hit Philadelphia, my heart sinks because I get to see these distracting, unpleasant billboards so that you don't really pay attention to our beautiful cityscape line. And then as I come into Bucks County and New Hope, they have crept their way up 95. And so I'm old enough to remember Lady Bird Johnson's beautification of the highways and how uplifting it was, and how when you drove on a highway and you saw flowers rather than billboards, how much you felt better about the drive. So I have to say, I'm annoyed, I'm sad about it, I'm distracted, and to think that now we want to put billboards on children's school buildings is even more distressing, that as a society we're not willing to say, hey, I'm willing to pay more taxes. I realize people in Center City may have a hard time, but as somebody in Bucks County, I would do whatever I could to make it easier. I have a 7-year-old grandson who is already brainwashed about what detergent I should put in my washing machine.
All right, Anne-Marie, let me just cut you off there only because
sure.
I do want to give Jared a chance to respond. And I appreciate your comments as well. And I think anyone that drives on I-95, I think that's what she's referring to if you come down from Bucks County.
Right.
It is just, you know,
It's one after another. And when I did a story about this in the spring, and I sort of looked at all the billboard structures I could find on I-95 sort of in the city limits, and did some analysis, and more than two-thirds of them are non-conforming.
Meaning
that they are either within 300 feet of a residential area, 660 feet of a park, or within 500 feet of another one. And that it's more than two-thirds of them are within 500 feet of another billboard, which is not allowed under city code.
Well, who's supposed to regulate billboards?
The Department of Licenses and Inspections is supposed to enforce it. I mean, it's regulated under general zoning.
But the idea that, I mean, we're talking about, a majority of billboards that are in some
right.
degree of non-compliance just on
right.
I-95
and
corridor?
It's hard to find out exactly when they were built, so I have to assume that most of them were built prior to some of these regulations, just for the benefit of the doubt to the industry. But even so, I mean, with more than two-thirds of the billboards on the highways not conforming to existing zoning regulations, I think that's kind of a problem.
So where do you, as you watch this mm-hmm. Heenan bill, as we're referring to, where do you see that bill then going from here? What are the routes or the stops along the way?
So I believe he was hoping to get it out before the end of the session, but that's not going to happen now because they only have this Thursday left.
Right.
So it's already been through a committee hearing, but if it's going to be amended again, it'll have to go through sort of another committee hearing or be amended on the floor. But again, this issue just does not generate a lot of consensus. So he's going to push it again in January, and we'll see what happens. And I know he's been working very hard
right.
on trying to get to some sort of a compromise, but... you still got a ways to go, I assume.
Well, it doesn't sound like it generates a lot of money either.
No. I mean, yeah, I don't believe it does. I mean, there was an e-consult report that I picked up at City Council a couple weeks ago that the industry had sort of commissioned. And it says that the industry employs 210 people in the city and a total economic impact of about $51 million. But again, that in tax revenue, that's still less than $2.8 million between the actual tax on outdoor advertising and, you know, city wage, business taxes, et cetera.
We began with Councilwoman Blondell Reynolds-Brown. As she said, she has a couple of technical fixes
mm-hmm.
that she's going to, I guess, introduce this week. Where do you see the billboards on schools going?
It's hard to say because that bill at this point is so it's pretty vague. It sort of just gives the school district the authority to do this. It doesn't say how they have to do it. You know, it bans alcohol and tobacco advertisements,
right.
obviously. But other than that, it doesn't say whether they're allowed in the schools, on the schools, or anything really. So if council wants this to happen, they can pass this bill. And even then, there's no guarantee that the actual program will be put in place. But again, it won't be till next year.
And it all falls eventually or inevitably on the School Reform Commission. I guess
right.
they're the ones who would decide whether to go ahead with something like this or not.
Right. And as she said, the school district, Fran Burns, who I forget what her exact title is at the school district, but she testified at council a couple weeks ago and said, even if you pass this, there's no guarantee we're going to implement mm. it because this is going to take a lot of work on our part. And we got to make sure it makes sense monetarily.
Well, on that note, Jared Bray, thank you very much for joining us
in
this portion of Radio Times. As I said, trudged through the blizzard to get here in our studio. And he writes about development, zoning, and city government for PlanPhilly.com. And we began our conversation talking with Philadelphia City Councilwoman Blondell Reynolds-Brown. And we are spending this hour talking about billboards here in the city of Philadelphia. And we have Mary Tracy waiting in the wings, Executive Director of Scenic Philadelphia. We're also taking more calls at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, or you can send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Simpson Meadows, a retirement community in Downingtown, PA, in Chester County. Managed by Simpson Senior Services, a nonprofit with a long-standing tradition of care. Simpson Meadows provides personal care for senior adults, along with memory care, respite, and independent living. A specially designed personal care neighborhood staffed with licensed nurses provides assistance with daily tasks to help residents remain as independent as possible. More at SimpsonMeadows.org.
On the next Fresh Air, leaked documents about the secretive organization ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. It brings together state legislators with corporate representatives. Together, they write model legislation that the legislators bring back to their states. We talk with Ed Pilkington, chief reporter for The Guardian U.S., who broke the story of these documents. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
An end to poverty from the mouths of babes.
I will give people presents, like kids who don't get presents with my own money out of my pocket.
An 11-year-old named Dasani who lives in poverty in New York City, where the New York Times says the number of homeless children is higher than at any time since the Great Depression. Next time on The Takeaway from PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen. We are talking about billboards in Philadelphia. Began our conversation with City Councilwoman Blondell Reynolds Brown. She has co-authored a bill to allow billboards on school property, with the revenue going to help the Philadelphia School District. We've also been talking about a bill in council to freeze the number of billboards in the city, including the illegal ones. Joining us now is Mary Tracy. She's the executive director of Scenic Philadelphia and has been working for more than 3 decades to improve the city's visual environment. And Mary Tracy, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Yes. Hi, Marty. Thank you for tackling this issue.
Indeed. Let me give out that phone number to our listeners, which is 1-888-477-9499. And Mary, based on the first two guests in this hour, it feels as if the city of Philadelphia is looking to billboards to help defray some costs here.
They absolutely are, Marty. It's a short-term fix that I don't think they've really looked into with enough depth to see, is the money really there? And we believe that it's not.
Well, let me start with the billboards on school building or school property. What's your response to that?
Well, I think it's very well-intentioned. I think there's, not only Philadelphia, but municipalities across the state are desperate now. Where are they going to raise this extra money? And we shouldn't be putting them into that position. But I don't think that the money that they hope will be there, for one. For example, Pensbury passed something last year where they hope to get $400,000 a year in revenue, and this was for advertising in the school.
Mm-hmm.
And they only got $30,000. So they sold less than 10% of the available space in the schools. So just because you make your signs available doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to be able to sell them. And if you just take a ride down I-95 and the Schuylkill Expressway neighborhood, you'll see a lot of empty billboards. It's not the best choice of advertising these days, and there has been a decided decline in the income and the use of these signs. So that would be first. And second, I think we should be thinking very carefully about selling the eyeballs of our children because they are very impressionable. I used to work in tobacco control for young people, and one of the first things we wanted to do is get rid of any kind of tobacco advertising within close to a school, because right. It normalizes and glamorizes some of the products that we may be trying to have our kids avoid. And there's been some great studies about having these advertisements near a school and those neighborhoods that have more advertisement, their kids tend to start earlier on using these products. So, I don't really agree with school advertising. I think what Councilwoman Blondell is trying to do, putting a Nike ad in the middle of a football field is one thing, but ignoring all the laws that we've had for over 30 years, like you can't have them across the street from homes, they can't be near schools, you can't have rooftop signs, you need to have a distance from digital. All those laws are being tossed away in order to let schools make money.
Mm.
And in doing that, they're actually devaluing the property values of the nearby neighbors and the quality of life of our communities.
Well, I know that you've been on this issue for some time now, Mary, but we had a caller that was talking about a portion of Maine, or perhaps even the whole state of Maine, that was billboard-free. Is that your goal, or is it trying to figure out how to make less visual clutter?
I think, Maine was lucky because they did that right in the early 70s when billboards were really just on wooden, poles, and some people were even going out there and sawing them down. And they basically decided that they don't want these billboards. They passed an act saying no billboards in Maine, as well as Vermont did the same thing, and Alaska and Hawaii. Those are the only four states in the country. Mm-hmm. We could do that in Pennsylvania, but, you know, since that time, we have an emerging lobby group, the OAAA, that spends millions and millions of dollars on the national, the state, and even the local level here in Philadelphia, you know, protecting that law, the Hobby Beautification Act. It would be very difficult to get something passed. Mm-hmm. But we do believe in local control. And we believe that, you know, 20 years ago, Philadelphia has really said we don't want these billboards near our homes, near our parks, near our playgrounds. We don't want them to be too tall. And, you know, that was really a great law that got passed, and it was very difficult to get that law passed at that time.
Well, as Jared Bray was telling us, looking at I-95, the number of, I guess, unlicensed or perhaps even illegal billboards on that very busy stretch of highway.
It's shocking, really. What happened in Pennsylvania is the state Philadelphia. I mean, you have the Federal Highway Beautification Act that was passed in 1965.
Right.
In 1971, the state was, you know, told the feds, we're going to follow the law. We'll comply. We've got the laws in place. And then the city came to the state and said, we want to take care of our own laws, and we'll comply with, you know, the state's laws. And so, you know, the city's, you know, taken on the responsibility of enforcing at least the Highway Beautification Act, and they just haven't done it. I mean, they've allowed signs to be within 500 feet of each other, which is totally prohibited. They've let them be in residential areas along our federal aid highways, totally prohibited. So just in those two instances alone, they've not been, you know, in compliance. And Federal Highways is really taking a close look now at our city and its lack of enforcement. We could lose tens of billions of dollars in highway funds if we don't clean up our act. And I think that this law that we're looking at in Philadelphia, our city council needs to be really responsible in getting our city cleaned up before we open up further doors for more billboards anywhere.
Well, let me ask you about the Heenan bill, as we're calling it. This is it calls for a number of things, including a moratorium on the numbers of billboards in the city, I guess holding that number at about 2,000. Do you see that as a positive part of this proposed legislation?
I mean, I think in one way I do, because no new billboards, you know, is great. It's just, on the other hand, the billboards that are there that are now illegal would be giving eternal life, because where the billboards that are not what we call now non-conforming, because they are next to a park or somebody's home or a historic area, those signs eventually should disappear, just like the old tanneries. They're non-conforming. They no longer belong there, and eventually they should disappear. What our city council wants to do is allow them to totally rebuild that, to put in a new foundation, to put in a new structure, and in many cases to be able to digitalize them. And so, you know, someone said to me, it's like making billboard zombies. You know, they'll never die. And I don't think that has long-term benefit for the city at all. It'll discourage development, and it will really, I think, drive a lot of people who would live in neighborhoods away because of the billboards that are there.
Let me reintroduce you. That's Mary Tracy, again, Executive Director of Scenic Philadelphia. And as I said, has been working for a number of decades now to, quote unquote, improve the city's visual environment. She started an organization, back in the 90s called
SCORA? It was in 1990, yes, in order to get the strong billboard bills passed.
I remember talking to you about that when you were the head of Scrub. Well, I guess your work continues, Mary. Let me get some callers in at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. Let me get Phoebe from Kennett Square to join us. Phoebe, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
I'd just like to comment on the experience that you have when you drive on the Blue Route, which long ago the Scenic America, and I guess Scenic Philadelphia, wasn't Scenic Philadelphia then, and the Garden Club managed to work with Mr. Collins, who designed the Blue Route, so that there are no billboards. I suggest that people drive on the Blue Route, examine what experience they have there versus driving on 95 with all the billboards. I think the intrusiveness on our billboards is psychologically terrible, and I prefer to see the trees and flowers, et cetera, rather than someone imposing advertising on me. So I just suggest people consciously go on the Blue Route and see what sort of experience it is versus the I-95.
Phoebe, thanks for the call to Radio Times. And Mary, I guess not surprising, most of the people calling in the show have been complaining about billboards, but nonetheless, it's hard to imagine I-95 without billboards, especially in this Philadelphia section.
Well, you know, actually, I totally agree with Phoebe, and that was really a great campaign. It was called Keep the Blue Route Green, and it became a scenic highway, and so that took a legislative act to do it, but there was enough energy, and it's much easier to stop billboards from going up than it is to get them down, which we have found. But interestingly enough, if you go up I-95 now, where they're expanding it, they had to remove those billboards, and it's really beautiful. You can actually see the river, and, you know, those manufacturing buildings, those old factories, you know, they have some architectural interest in them, and eventually I think the hope is that, and it's happening in other places, that those actually become condos and apartment buildings and residences, and allowing billboards to go up again near them, it will really thwart that kind of development. So I think the city really needs to take a futuristic view of where do we want to go on billboards in this city.
Let me get Phoebe, thanks for the call. Let me get Paul from Lansdowne to join us. Hi, Paul, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I'm concerned about light pollution. I know that billboards are a very big thing, contributors to light pollution and not being able to see the night sky, besides, you know, dilating your eyes to be very large and making it unsafe to drive at night. It also, you know, blocks out the night sky. And I was wondering if there's any regulations considered about that. Mm-hmm. You know, putting light baffles around the lights would be a simple thing is being considered.
Thanks for calling in. Paul, Mary Tracy, go ahead.
Yes, I mean, actually, it's astounding what current bill has at the request of the billboard industry. They've asked for 700 nits. Now, a convention and billboard is about 125 nits at night, and the Outdoor Advertising Association's trade group basically says 300 nits. So 700 nits. I mean, this is blinding, and not only does it, you know, have an impact on the night skies, it has an impact on people who live a mile, 2 miles away. You can see those things, and they change every 6 seconds. So I think, you know, there needs to be a much more homework done on what the real impact of these signs are, both traffic safety-wise, and it doesn't seem like our council is looking at those things in as much depth as they need to. They just want to pass through a bill.
Paul, thanks for the call to Radio Times. Mary, but do you think that city council could do a better job in getting more revenue out of billboards or going after violators and getting some fines paid for some of these illegal and unlicensed billboards?
Oh, Marty, they could. I mean, the billboard industry has gotten away with as we raise our property taxes, we're looking at an industry that doesn't pay any real estate tax on a lot of their property. There are about 500 billboards on railroad properties. They pay no taxes at all on their real estate. And these are some of the most valuable places in the city, along the bridges, along our highways. That's all railroad property. And so those billboards that are cluttered all along this property are paying no real estate taxes and maybe $50 a sign. And we're looking at the actual revenue. They're paying 7%, which comes to about $2.5 million. My condominium pays $2.5 million in real estate taxes. So,
and that's the excise tax, right?
That's the excise tax. So I'd say if you're going to raise anybody's taxes, then raise the excise tax for the billboard industry. They should be paying 10-15% for the benefit of being able to advertise on taxpayer-funded roads.
Let me get some more callers in. And interestingly, everyone calling from the suburbs here in Philadelphia. I'm not complaining, just an interesting note. Looks like we have Paul from Newtown Square joining us on Radio Times. And Paul, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Marty.
Morning.
Good morning, Mary.
Hi, Paul.
I have the pleasure of playing in an Irish band with Mary, and she's a great fiddle player.
There you go.
I have two children who it's almost impossible to get their eyes off the TV once the TV gets moving. I grew up in England, and I didn't grow up with too much television. I know a lot of people in America, probably up to the age of 40 years old, seem to be addicted. We go to pubs, there's televisions everywhere, there's moving images everywhere, people can't seem to take their eyes off. And I'm really concerned about, even I, who kind of don't like all these billboards, get kind of sucked in by the big digital ones when I'm driving up past the stadium, for example, on 95. And I wonder how many deaths are caused and how many accidents are caused. And just as an interesting post note, my wife is from East Germany, grew up in a very gray country, and actually finds some kind of attractive because she's from a gray country.
Well, that's a very interesting comment, Paul. Let me take your first point. And Mary Tracy, have there been studies about some of these digital billboards and the issue of safety?
Well, there have, and there are, and you know, basically, the thing that Paul is referring to is why he finds himself looking at it, is that we as humans are hardwired to look at the brightest light in the sky, and especially a flashing light, and that, you know, it's why we go out and the first thing we do is look at the stars, we look at the sun, and so as we're driving along a highway and we see this flashing light, we turn to it, and then we're captivated, and it's hard to pull our eyes away, and so it's not really your fault, Paul, it's your human instinct, but at the same time, do these really belong along the highway? And I know in Sweden they did a study, they put some digital billboards up along the highway for a year to see what was the impact of those signs along that highway, and they took the signs down because they found that people's glances, their eye glances, were longer and more frequent with the digital billboards than with a conventional billboard.
We have just a minute left before I have to say goodbye, Mary, but what about the, you know, more sort of arty-looking billboards? Is there a case that can be made for something like that?
Well, I mean, we all love to look at art. The problem is that the art's only going up there when there's no ads that are up there. And so we've never really gotten into the content because it's really the structure. What is really more beautiful is to see the you know, the buildings, the skies, the tree, the skyline. You know, those are the things that are really bring beauty. And, you know, certainly better to have a piece of, you know, a replica of an art piece than an ad for liquor, but at the same time, we can't control content because of the First Amendment, and in my view, it's just better to get rid of them all.
Get rid of them all, even though, that's not going to happen, Mary.
As many as we can, anyway.
Well, we'll leave it on that note. Mary Tracy, thank you for joining us today on Radio Times.
Oh, thank you, Marty.
You're welcome. She's the executive director of Scenic Philadelphia. We also talked with Jared Bray, who writes about development, zoning, and city government for PlanPhilly.com. And we began our conversation with Philadelphia City Councilwoman Blondell Reynolds Brown. Go to WHYY.org/Radio Times, and you can find out much more about this program, including Facebook, Twitter, email, archives, podcasts, and satellite radio. I'm Marty Moscoen. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. And do stay with us. We'll be right back.